A Confederacy of Dunces by John Kennedy Toole. Concluded.
Disc 11.
Mr. Levy tried to assess the evidence. He knew that Riley had really liked the company. He had seen it at the company. The woman next door had told him. He had just read it. Trixie, on the other hand, hated the company. Even though his wife and the kook claimed that the senility routine was a front, he doubted that she would be able to write a letter like that. But now he had to get out of the claustrophobic bedroom before he possibly got ill all over the tablets that covered the floor. When Mr. Riley had been standing next to him, pointing out the passages in the notebook, the scent had grown overpowering. He felt for the doorknob, but the Riley kook threw himself against the door.
"You must believe me," he sighed. "The Trixie Trollope had a fixation about a turkey or a ham. Or was it a roast? It was all rather fierce and confusing at times. She swore vengeance in connection with not being retired at the proper age. She was filled with hostility."
Mr. Levy eased him aside and got out into the hall, where the maroon-haired mother was waiting like a doorman.
"Thank you, Mr. Riley,"
Mr. Levy said. He had to get out of that claustrophobic miniature of a heartbreak house.
"If I need you again, I'll call you."
"You'll need him again,"
Mrs. Riley called as he passed her and ran down the front steps.
"Whatever it is, Ignatius done it."
She called out something else, but Mr. Levy's roar drowned out her voice. Blue smoke settled over the stricken Plymouth, and he was gone.
"Now you done it,"
Mrs. Riley was saying to Ignatius, her hands grasping the white smock.
"Now we in trouble for real, boy. You know what they can do you for forgery? They can throw you in a federal prison. That poor man's got a $500,000 case on his hands. Now you done it, Ignatius. Now you really in trouble."
"Please,"
Ignatius said weakly. His pale skin was turning an off-white that shaded into gray. He felt really ill now. His valve was executing several maneuvers that exceeded in originality and violence anything it had done before.
"I told you it would be like this when I went out to work."
Mr. Levy picked the shortest route back to the Desire Street wharf. He sped out Napoleon to the broad overpass and got onto the expressway, fired by an emotion that was a distant but recognizable version of determination. If resentment had really driven Miss Trixie to writing that letter, then Mrs. Levy was the person responsible for the Abelman suit. Could Miss Trixie write something as intelligible as that letter? Mr. Levy hoped that she could. He drove through Miss Trixie's neighborhood quickly, flashing past the bars and the boiled crawfish and oysters on the half-shell signs that stuck out everywhere. At the apartment house, he followed the trail of scraps up the stairs to a brown door. He knocked, and Mrs. Levy opened it with,
"Look who's back, the idealist's menace. Have you solved your case?"
"Maybe."
"Now you're talking like Gary Cooper. One word I get for an answer, Sheriff Gary Levy.